Now, we've got the amazing privilege of Richard Wilkinson speaking to us. Who remembers about David and Goliath? I still remember that message. That was fantastic, wasn't it? So welcome, Richard. Great to have you up here.
Hi, everyone. I'd like to thank Andrew and Nigel for this opportunity to come up here and speak. And it's wonderful what they've done at this church. We've just heard from Greg just how much they've done. Their vision has become this church building around us, and they've attracted more people with vision around them and accepted what God's put in their heart, stepped forward in faith, and look what they've done. So thank you also for pushing me into doing this. It's good to stretch yourself and do new things and try out things that you haven't done before so that God can work on you and strengthen you and build you up. So, excellent. My talk today is it's called Fuel for Growth. I was asked to come up here and talk about the building fund, and it's a tricky thing to think. For a while, I didn't actually say yes. Normally, I would say yes straight away, but I couldn't think of what I wanted to actually talk about. And I was in church, and I think we just had worship. It's always a good point in time to, if you're full of the Spirit. And Andrea mentioned something. It was, she said, she described the church as the bride of Christ. And it got me thinking about another model of what church is, which is the body of Christ. So I started thinking about how people have grown up in the church or been here for a long time, these things really make sense for us. But for people that are new to the church, they probably think, what on earth are they talking about? The bride of Christ, the body of Christ. But in many cases, the what God is trying to do is just give us a model to understand what church is and how it functions. So with that, with the body of Christ, I thought, okay, then that gives me a topic. In Ephesians 1:22-23, it said, it gave him, who is Jesus, to be head of all things in the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills us all. In 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12 to 15. Is it up there yet? Okay. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ, for we are all baptized in one Spirit, whether Jews or Greeks or slaves or free. We are all given the one Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of one part, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not the hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not, for that reason, cease to be part of the body. So looking around the church, it's nice. One of the nice things about being up here is that I can see so many different people here. We have new Christians, people that have been Christians for a very long time, people from all around the world, people of all different types. This metaphor of the body of Christ being made up of many different parts, it's just so true. When you stand up here, you can look at what our church is made of. But where I'm getting to is, I guess there's the other side of what a body is. And so when God was saying, when in the Bible, when it says the church is like the body and we're all parts of this, there's another aspect to that. And that comes down to, this idea that we understand what a body is. We can how it grows, how it functions, when it doesn't function so well. And that can be a really good lesson on how we can become stronger and more competent, build up capability, capacity. So I thought this is an interesting thing. So in the New Testament, they do talk about this idea of training. And I thought this is what my key message is today. In 1 Corinthians 9:24, it says, everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do not get a crown that will last. They do it to get a crown that will last forever. Now, One thing about a body, especially as you get older, is you realize that if you don't look after it, if you don't do a number of things, it doesn't function as well as you'd like it to. Athletes spend an amazing amount of time trying to improve their health. What most athletes will do, they try to get faster, they try to get stronger. It doesn't even have to be athletes. Mentally, the brain is a part of your body as well. It's all these aspects that you have to train up and keep healthy. And there's three main ways that we do this. So essentially, it all boils down to three main things: eating well, resting, and exercising. So one of the things that people may not know about me was originally, my job has nothing to do with what I currently do. I originally studied science. I was going to be a medical researcher. So went through, did biochemistry, did my thesis on adult liver stem cells, and a little bit of that was I liked how the body worked. The body breaks down things, it builds things up. It's called metabolism. It's catabolic and anabolic reactions. So it's funny, it takes food, breaks it all down into little bits and pieces, scatters it through the body, and makes what you see, these things, highly intricate bodies. It's amazing what they do. The other side of that was I also liked to go to the gym when I was younger. So when you go to the gym, you like to understand how things work so you can actually become healthier. Now, you're probably thinking that, because Nigel is not up here, you wouldn't necessarily hear a gym message. But today's about our story and our future, and gym messages are part of that story. So today's thing is going to be quite a bit on that. So at the start, what I'll do is I'll talk about what is good for a body, how you train it to become stronger, how to make it faster, how to make it better. And then we'll use those messages to understand how we can make our church stronger and better and do more. So essentially, eat, sleep, and exercise. It's not a hard thing. It's amazing. Like you see, anything, any discussion, any talk about mental health, physical strength, you can boil it always down to these three things. So you have to eat well. So eat good foods that build you up, that make you that aren't bad, like junk food. Typically, it's normally things with protein. It's normally things with fiber, fruit and veg. You have to rest. People that don't rest get worn down. They get tired. They get physically weaker. And lastly, it's no surprise, to get stronger, to get faster, you have to train. You have to do exercise. So it could be mental exercise, you could be doing maths, it could be running. So you see people out there running. But you just don't do this once. You have to do this in a cycle. Eat, sleep, exercise. Eat, sleep, exercise. Each time you do it, you get a little bit stronger, a little bit faster. You see people sometimes, they don't do enough of this, and they go out and do a marathon, and they just about die. They get about 5 kilometres into it, and all the adrenaline's worn off, and they go, uh-oh, what have I done? When you do this over and over again, you build up this strength, you build up these muscles, and you end up being able to do more. You're able to lift more. You're able to run further. You're able to do much more with what you're given. So one person can run a marathon. One person can lift hundreds of kilos of weight above their head. And sometimes when you see people that haven't built this capacity themselves, haven't done this eat, sleep, exercise over and over again, they go and try to do something. They lift, I don't know if you've seen the YouTube clip. I actually thought about this week, and this is why I'm going to talk about it. But you see, during the Olympic Games, they had all these huge, huge, huge people all lifting weights. They're picking up the weights, lifting above their head. And then along comes a guy from a small country. I'm not even sure where he came from. And he was a third of the size of everyone else on that stage. He gets up the weight. He goes up to the weights, leans down, picks him up, puts it over his head, and then goes. And then literally his arms and his shoulders dislocate, and he falls to the ground, arms all floppy, and everyone goes, "That's a horrible video. I'm going to send that to every one of my friends." So when you don't do eat, sleep, exercise enough, you can't do as much. It's and if you try to do huge amounts, like in a church, you see it sometimes. People go, next year we're going to have 1,000 people, especially new churches. Like I've seen people do this, youth leaders, all sorts. They go, they have these huge ideas of vision, visions of growth. And they go, yes, I can do this. But if you don't repeat this process and do each of these steps, you end up having, you go out there and you try it and you'll injure yourself, you'll hurt yourself. What I'll do is I'll talk about each of these things a little bit before I move on to the next bit. So eating is pretty obvious, so hopefully I won't have to go into too much detail with this. But when you do exercise and you go to the gym, for example, I'll use a gym because it's easy, and you're lifting weights and you're repeating that over and over again, doing activity, you're doing something. Afterwards, when you finish doing that, you have to go and eat, because your muscles are demanding food. They're demanding energy, resources to be able to grow and survive. Now, if you don't eat after doing exercise or leading up to that, your body will start eating itself. So sometimes you see it with, I guess, marathon runners are a pretty good example. Marathon runners will, their bodies will literally eat themselves. They're very, very thin people because they don't eat for hours after they start exercising. So your body has all these chemicals which will flush through your system trying to find any energy source it can when you're doing exercise. And if you're not feeding your body in a good, well-timed manner, it will eat itself and you'll get progressively weaker. So what marathon runners do is they do eat, but they'll eat for the days before they go for the marathon. They load up on food. You see them, it's, I used to be quite jealous. They can eat whatever they want. They go to smorgasbords, they just load up on carbs, but they're getting their body ready for the exercise ahead. So if you don't eat properly, you see it. You see this wearing down where you get progressively weaker and more worn down. Now, the one that most people miss, and it's one that I probably miss out on the most as I've got older, is rest. Now, rest is important for two main things. First of all, when you sleep, that's when your muscles will grow. That's where you get stronger. That's where you get better. But rest is also important because that's the point in time when you're actually planning out how you're going to exercise, what you're going to do in the future. So if you don't rest, again, the chances are you're not getting enough sleep, you're not growing, but you're also not really probably going to commit too strongly to what you're doing. You'll get up in the morning and go, oh, it's winter. I've had not enough sleep. I'm going to stay in. I'm not going to do this exercise. So you cut back a lot of things. And lastly, the exercise is pretty obvious, though some people think you can just eat and sleep, and maybe if you eat and sleep well enough, you won't need exercise. And I actually know a lot of people like that. They'll eat really clean but do no exercise. Now, one of the things they found is they've looked at studies where people have eaten really clean, they sleep well, but they don't do exercise. And they might look physically well on the outside, they might be quite thin, but then they also have an amazingly high amount of heart disease. They die much sooner than most other people because they're not actually fit, they just look fit. So one of the, let's have a look, where am I? So yeah, cycling through this, doing every part of this is important for a healthy body to make it stronger and to be able to do more. Now, there's only one exception I could think of for this, and there's I don't know if anyone here looks at the Marvel comics, the movies. There's a character which I used to think was the lousiest superhero. His name was Captain America. He's part of the Avengers. And he basically has a shield he throws at people, and his superpower is he's always at peak physical condition. Now, as I'm older, that's the superpower I actually want. Because he doesn't need to do all this. He just magically has, through a serum, has the ability to be perfectly fit all the time without ever having to do good eating, good sleep, and good exercise. But for you and me, normal people, this is the building blocks of how you get bigger. So how does this apply to our church? Imagine, again, back to the church as a body. What we have here is a pretty good example of how these three things feed into making a stronger and healthier church. So, as was mentioned by Greg and by Nigel, initially there was a vision of setting up a church in Fremantle. People came together, they volunteered, they did activity. This is the exercise. They had the vision, which is part of that rest phase. They all volunteered their time, their money. The food was the support. People came through and said, okay, we'll support this, we'll financially support this, we'll help this. That vision grew. In time, they moved to a new facility, a bigger facility. Again, more support. When they moved to here, they'd already gone through, I think, two or three places by that stage. Two. And so each time they grew a little bit more and a little bit more, and here they stretched further. There was a very big stretch here, but if they hadn't done those earlier steps, if they hadn't been faithful building themselves up initially, they probably would have got here and then collapsed under the weight of this big barbell above their head. The ligaments and the muscles would have been torn, and they'd be laying there on the floor with people surrounding them so no one can see. But with each step, each year that we give into these sort of things, each year that we've done these things, we've created new facilities, new visions have been brought into the world, greater capacity is brought into this church. So we have Port Care, which was a vision years ago. It's moved into a bigger facility over in Hammy Hill. That's on South Street anyway. Hilton, all right? Yep. And of course, that's scaling up. One day, I'm praying, it'll be bigger again, and hopefully our own facility, our own building as well. So we keep seeing these visions and these escalations of growth. But it's more than that. Greg mentioned earlier that we're having this impact around the world where we're growing as a church and able to do things that we would never ever been able to think to be able to do before. Much like the guy who lifts weights or who can run a marathon, suddenly after all this work, they go, "Wow, how were we as a church able to help in Africa with Ebola?" It's amazing. It's not something that, I don't know, I imagine 20 years ago the church would have been able to think was even a possibility. I mean, most churches think we'll do it indirectly through another organization, let alone do it themselves and bring others along. But all this activity and all these visions need one thing in this equation that we really haven't talked too much about. So the sleep, the rest, being able to get new vision and plan out things, we do that really, really well at this church. We're very active. We have a high amount of volunteers here. We're growing. We have people here that are always active doing things. And people around the world that also plug in into the visions that we have. But as I said before, if you could be sleeping, you could be exercising, but if you're not eating, your body will start eating itself up. And you can last for a little while. You can go for a little while without having that food in you. But if you're not regularly feeding, which is the tithes, or you're not loading up before you do big things, such as a marathon runner eating those large amounts of carbs, then you're not going to be able to do as well as you could if you hadn't invested that food into it. So in the illustration, it talks about different members of the church. It talks about the hands, the eyes, and how they're all different. And that got me thinking about this whole food prospect. Now, I'll use an unhealthy food because I just want to. It's delicious. But my eye, basically the way I saw it was, you and me, we're all different parts, but imagine there's, you got the eyes. The eyes can see a hamburger. It's delicious, sitting there on a plate. It can look at that forever, and it'll never get sustenance from it. The nose can smell that hamburger. It's going, that's a good burger. I want to eat that burger. But he could smell it for a very long time, and all it's getting is just microscopic fragments of that burger going into it. And the hand can hold the burger and go, yeah, I can feel it. I can feel that burger. It's in my palm. It's there. But there's only really one way the body actually gets sustenance from that hamburger. It's not by holding it. It's not by smelling it. It's not by looking at it. It's simply shoving it into its mouth and chewing it and then eating it. So basically, there's Ephesians 4, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16. It's mentioned earlier. I was like, oh, that's the verse. But basically, it's from the whole body joined and knitted together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective workings by which each part does share, causes growth of the body for edifying itself with love. No, I used a different version there. That's probably a nicer version. So basically, we're the body. We're all joined together. We're all getting stronger through, and we're able to do more as a church. But essentially, it's all of us working together that allows us to build up and grow. So, I mean, look around us. We have the examples and resources that have been built up by many people giving into these sort of funds, supporting these funds, and we also have a Wellard campus we'd like to be able to feed into as well. But it's essentially, to be able to do that, we need to take that food that we have and put it into our mouth. Now, it's hard for the hand or the eye to let go of that, because you look at it and you go, there is a delicious burger, and I have it. I have it in my hand. It's me. If I let go of this, will I get anything? But the hand giving the mouth the burger and the burger going into our digestive tract is the only way it gets broken down and actually shared out. God very much says, you know, you give to me and I'll give you so much more. So let's have a look here. So Malachi 3, verse 10. That's it. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open for you the windows of heaven, pour out for you such blessing that there will be not enough room for you to receive it. Now, taking it back to this idea of this digestive tract, essentially what we have here is feeding the body actually is the way that you, as hands and eyes and feet and all these bits and pieces, that's the mechanism that you get food. Good, real sustenance, not looking at food, not an imagination of it. So it is important for people to give freely into the body as a whole so that you can get back the blessings that you need, the sustenance that you need. So you could look at this, you could look at your food, you could hold it, you could hold those resources and say, this is mine. I can't let this go because I have it in my hand. I want to keep this. But if you really want to build up not only this church and this vision, but also yourself in the process, then you really have to let that go. Let that go into the mouth. Let it go down into the church so that it can actually feed not only you, but everyone else around you. So everyone can be built up in love, be stronger, so we can do more, so we can be stronger. Because we are an active church, we do a lot of things, we do more things every year, and if we don't feed ourselves at some point, we're going to have injury, we're going to break down, we're going to weaken. If we don't build up on what we have, then there's really, what happens is we start going backwards. So we need that investment, we need that food to be able to grow and get stronger and do better. And you know, we have seen through the last few years, through our story, just how much stuff that we can do with the increased muscle and strength that we have. So what I'd like you to do is, over the next couple of weeks, reflect on, you know, what you have, where it goes. I mean, often, I know for myself, I tend to look at what I have and go, oh, gee, how many bills have I got? Where does it go? It's hard to let go sometimes, but really, just like the hand, if I don't let go of that, some of those resources, and give that to the body, then I'm really not going to be fed either. I'm not going to grow as a human being, and I need that just as anyone else here needs this. So think about where you spend your money. Do you spend it on junk food? Do you spend it on things that make you feel better in the short term? So like the sugary snacks that make you less healthy? Or do you want to see that money invested in something that will grow and compound and over the years build and build and build our capability here and our capacity to do more? So I guess my message is, please feed the body of the church so that it can be stronger and do more.
It's great, Rich. So good. Thank you. Isn't it nice and refreshing to have someone like Richard speak, who loves the church? Thank you. Yeah. Before we finish, I want to give people an opportunity. So could we just take our cards in our hands? Andrew and I pray about this and give into this every year, because I am a believer, and I know you are too, that the church is the greatest organism in the world. The body of Christ, as Richard was talking about. So if you have your faith promise there. I love this scripture on the front, Our Story, Our Future. If you have your front part, just have a look at that. It actually says, so we promise together. Everyone say together. Not to neglect the house of our God. We promise together. What do? We promise together. This is a faith promise that we do. This is a faith promise that we do. Together. And I love that. It's not about equal giving, but it is about equal sacrifice. And so whether you're a university student here today, whether you're a solo parent, whether you're a business person, whether you're somewhere in the middle, whether you just bring home a salary each week from your job, we all play a part together. And I love that someone who's at university might be able to give $5-$10 a week. And if you look on the left-hand side of the card, you'll see in the black area there, there's some amounts. So you could give like $10 a week, you could give $25 a week, you could give $500 a week. What is great about faith promise giving? It comes from 2 Corinthians. We've always taken it from this particular passage of Scripture. And it without going to it for the sake of time, it just says that we first went to the Lord to see what we should give. The pressure's not on me to force you as the leader of this church. But as part of the body, as Richard has spoken so well about this morning, as we go to the Lord as a couple, as Andrew and I go to the Lord as a couple, as Greg and Caroline go to the Lord as a couple, as Roy and Jane go together as a couple, as a single person goes to the Lord and says, Lord, what do you want me to give to build the church? This is not a tithe offering. This is above the tithe. The card is clear on that. We make room for God in our lives, in this area. In 2 Kings 4:10, the Shunammite woman made room for God. She actually built, they didn't need to. They were a couple. They didn't actually need any extra space, but they wanted to make room for God because they loved God in their house. And I think that when we build something like this significant, and we want to build God's house like this, and we want to see the expansion of God's kingdom, both here and in Wellard and through Port Care. None of this would have ever been possible if we hadn't have stepped out. But the greatest thing is that when you step out, that's when the miracles can start to happen in your life. And this Shunammite woman, her boy was dead. There was no hope, but there was. Where did that lady take her son? To the house of God, where God was. And that's where there was resurrection life. Let us pray. Father, today I pray that as we consider our faith promises, that whether it be today that we've already made up our mind or whether it be in the 2 weeks ahead, Father, I pray that we would be obedient to your call and your voice on our life, and that we may see the promises of God come to pass. That this is our life is not about ourselves, but about glorifying your name. And this year, if we've decided to make room for you, I pray the blessing of God on every person's life in Jesus' name. And we're looking forward to hearing of the good news stories of what you're doing in people's lives. The people of God said, amen. So we're going to give an opportunity. We're going to do this. This is a faith promise program over the next 12 months. You don't need to give any money today necessarily. If you want to, you can. But we're just going to give an opportunity, and we're going to do this the next two Sundays as well. So if the ushers could come, and we're just going to receive. If you're ready today, that's great. If not, that's fine. We're going to believe God together. Thanks, guys. Yeah, I've got my card. We've got our card. While that's happening, why don't we give Richard another hand for sharing the message today. Greg Moore for sharing. Thank you. So good hearing our story and where we want to go. Doesn't he just do such an eloquent job of putting all those numbers together, Greg Moore? I mean, he's definitely a gift. I think, my goodness, how did he do that so quickly? So good. Thanks, Greg. I reckon the next couple of weeks are going to be absolute crackers, by the way. Not only because I'm preaching, well, that will help, I'm sure, but you know, I just sense that God's wanting to stretch our faith. But with that, there's going to be some incredible miracles that happen in our own lives. I don't know about you, but I'd like a few more miracles in my life. This is a way that we can. I'm really sensing too, and I don't think I can finish this morning as an introduction to this next 3 weeks. There's some business people here that you actually can break into a whole new zone through our story, our future. And that there's numbers that you're going, no, I can't do that, that God's speaking to you about, and actually God wants you to. And so, why is that so? Because there's going to be an incredible increase in those things that you're involved in your business. And just like all of us see increase in our lives year in, year out, and this church has, I don't know about you, but if I was in business, I want to put God's house first so that you can see the incredible blessing of God on your own life. And so, Father, today, I pray the blessing of God on each and every one of us. And Lord, as I try and do my part and just be obedient in giving the message, really, and in each one does our part, as Richard said today, Father, I pray that together we would see C3 Fremantle, C3 Wellard, Port Care, future campuses. Father, we pray facilities like we've never seen before in Jesus' name. And we can achieve it because we can do it together. We will not neglect your house. And the people of God said, amen. God bless you, church. Have a great rest of your day.